Good morning again. It's great to see all of you here together, just to worship the Lord together, to sing together, to be in His presence as a family in Christ. It's a wonderful gift as well. Yes, we are going to be in Luke today, and if you want to keep that opened in that area, I'm going to be kind of moving around a little bit in the Bible today to leaping for joy. You know, that's what we're thinking about, because when you think about joy, it's not just something like this, though sometimes it can be. But when I think about joy, I'm thinking about something just bursting forth. And I whenever I think about bursting forth, I think about back in Thailand when we felt a little shaker. And see, I grew up in Southern California, so shakes are kind of normal, but Thailand is not. And Nolan was only 2 months old at that time, and we didn't think much of it. And then we heard about this big tidal wave that hit the south part of Thailand, and also, of course, in Indonesia and other parts of the world, too. And just seeing the picture of this wave, you know, coming in southern Thailand, and it didn't look like much. I'm going, oh, that's not that big of a wave. But when it started coming up to the part where it's meeting the sand and all the beach area, then you could see the force of that powerful wave just bursting forth, and whatever was in its way is either going to go through or over. And it was just, and of course, there's a lot of people that were killed in that tidal wave around the world, and even in southern Thailand. And so something that happened forcefully, quickly, and just could not be held back. And, you know, when I think about joy, I think about that bursting forth. We just can't hold it in any longer. We just have to go forth, you know. And I know I'm a sports addict, or I used to be even more than now. But when my Dodgers win, it's kind of like, oh, yeah. And I don't think I jumped around this time, but when I was younger, when they won the World Series 32 years ago, I was jumping around. Okay, there was a lot of joy in that young guy at that time. 32 years is a long time to wait. But my knees just aren't working so well for jumping like that anymore. So so we just praise the Lord, though, for the times that we can have a joyfulness. Going through what we've been looking at in the Christmas season, you know, what we learned in the days of Zachariah and Elizabeth, you know, in that dark times. They're living in the dark spiritual times and dark times under a ruler who was a very unnice guy. Okay, he was very dark in a lot of things he did. But we learned that God is watchful and faithful in the darkness. He's always at work. And then even in the darkest times, that's where he bursts forth. And he does great things. And then we moved on to the life of Mary and saw him through a teenage girl, that he was going to turn the world around and move it in the right direction once again. And through the faith, the humble faith, the childlike faith of Mary, he did something great, a miracle. And today we're going to be looking at some other kind of humble guys in the fields called shepherds. And if you know anything about the shepherds, back then they had reputations of being kind of shady characters, kind of loners, probably not much status in their society. And so they're fairly well downtrodden, but they still had hearts for the Lord. And I believe that the shepherds back then, they were waiting for their Messiah, just like all the other Israelites at that time. So in a darkness, even as the shepherds are watching over their flocks, they're waiting, and God is working. And we believe that as Christians, we know that even in the dark times, we can have joy. Sometimes the joy looks a little bit different. It can be a quiet joy, just being thankful for what we have in Christ. Or it could be a joy that causes us to dance around like King David before the Ark of the Covenant and leaping and praising God. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, we come before you knowing that it is your word. It is your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Without it, oh Lord, how could we even walk in this earth? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it. Bless this message, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will empower these words that will just touch our hearts and draw us near to you and cause us to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And may the joy of the Lord be our strength. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So what is joy? It's not always just these happy, smiley faces. You know, that's happiness. It's a little bit different from joy. Joy is it's a feeling of great delight. But like I said, it can look different for different people. Happiness really relies mainly on these outside circumstances. You know, somebody gives you something nice and you're just happy, or you did something well and you're happy and proud of yourself, and just things are going well, you got happiness, you know, that's something relying upon other things happening, okay, outside of yourself. But joy is a little bit different. In fact, it's a lot different because it is a fruit of the Spirit. It originates with the Spirit of the living God that he places in us. When we are followers of Christ, we have this Holy Spirit moving and bearing fruit in our lives. And as we surrender more and more, and as we stay focused on him or abide in him more and more, that joy just resonates in our very souls, our very beings, our hearts and minds. And through the darkest of times or the best of times, we can have a joy. Joy of knowing who Christ is and what he has done for us. A joy in knowing what we have in him. A joy in knowing who we are in Christ, even through the darkest of times. And that's a special joy to hold on to. God has a way of breaking through the darkest of times. Or the times, if you know, there's times, you know, when we're waiting for joyful moments, something that would just great expectations. Remember that young boy I was talking about last week, had to go through those folding doors backwards in hopes of a great Christmas with all the presents. And I was joyful when I turned around, you know, but I had to wait. There's a waiting. And there's a times when God has us wait. But I believe when we wait for a long time and God brings forth what he promised, there's a joyfulness that bursts forth like that tidal wave I talked about that hit southern Thailand and other parts of the world. Powerful. Can't hold it in. It's wonderful. See, when we look back here in chapter 2 of Luke, you see this. Let me read this part here. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." So they're keeping watch. Their hearts were open. They're probably looking for anything that would probably disturb their flocks, making sure they're taken care of. And I believe in the quiet moments, they probably could see the stars. And when you see the heavens and you're out in those type of areas, if it's not cloudy, which it usually isn't in those areas, you could have a beautiful view of God's creation. I really believe that their hearts were open to God. And probably these group of shepherds particularly, they're waiting. Waiting for their Messiah. Rescue us, Messiah. You know, they are thinking about the rescue for a political kingdom, a physical kingdom coming, a Messiah that will come like a warrior king. Get rid of this Roman rule, this Roman empire that's so despicable. They wanted to be free of that. Their hearts were longing for that. In 1 Peter, Peter wrote something here. Let me go to that for you here. I'll read that. If I can find it. First Peter was talking about others who are waiting. If I can get that one page here, there we are. It says, verse 10. It says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, he's talking to us, okay, right now. But Peter was talking to the churches back then. Searched intently and with the greatest care. So these prophets were seeking that, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he was when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, but us. When they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. So the prophets of old, the angels, were longing to see God reveal this wonderful moment, reveal his salvation to mankind. If you go back to chapter 2 in Luke, and you look at verse 25, there's a guy named Simeon. Simeon, it says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Consolation is like comfort, right? And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. His heart was waiting. Another person, a little bit further on, in verse 36, there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, waiting for God, waiting for that moment. In Acts 3, you had this crippled beggar holding out his cup, looking for money at the gates of the temple, waiting. John and Peter walk up to him, and they say, look at us. And he looked up, holding his cup, going, oh yeah, here's some more money for me. Waiting. See, in the waiting, as Abraham found out, could be kind of a long time. Waiting, as we find out, can be a long time. Even in God's sight, 1,000 years are like a day, or a day is like 1,000 years. His timing is different than ours. There's a waiting. In the waiting, we have to be careful. Because in the waiting, joy busters can come. All right, joy busters. And joy busters are, one of them could be, I lost my thing here. Hold on just a second. Sometimes my finger taps this and it moves me forward a little bit faster than I expect. Discontentment is one of the joy busters that we have to be careful of. It's easy to feel like you want more, especially in this society today when there is so much. And when you don't get what you're wanted, you kind of start going, oh man, I really wanted that, but I guess not this year. Or you know, you're working so hard and you're expecting that you're going to get a raise or something like that, but it doesn't come through, and you just kind of go, oh man. You know, discontentment just births forth a fruit called ungratefulness. We're ungrateful for what we already have. We want more. We want to seek our own desires. Discontentment causes us to lose focus upon who we are and what we already have. See, the way to bust discontentment, to burst through those strong walls in our lives, is to give thanks and praise unto the Lord. For all those perfect gifts come from the Father, the heavenly lights, to us. To remember what we have in Christ and what He has done for us and who we are in Him, and to give thanks for that. We were talking this morning in Sunday school, giving thanks for salvation, that we have been saved by grace through faith, not by anything we have done. It's a gift of God to us. So when we feel discontented, we need to turn our hearts to the Lord and remember Him. Give praise and thanksgiving for what we do have in that moment. And that joy buster of discontentment will be floated away in those tidal waves. Another one that comes up in our lives of joy busters is unresolved conflict. Do you have that in your life? It's hard not to. You know, you got classmates, you got coworkers, you got neighbors, you got family, and whatever else. There's times when bitterness sets into our hearts. We just don't like that person. We don't want to deal with them. We want to shut that person out. But that bitterness of unforgiveness in our hearts comes around us like heavy chains. Have you ever seen a battleship? In World War II, they had these big old ships with big guns. And they had, I remember we visited a battleship down in Alabama, the USS Alabama. The chains for the anchors on that battleship were huge links, thick metal. And whenever I think about chains, I think about that. When bitterness comes into our life and it just chains us up and weighs us down. And bitterness causes us just to lose sight of anything that God has for us and for that person that we're having difficulties with. And Paul wrote this. He says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There in Colossians chapter 3. And later he says, love binds all these virtues together, you know, in perfect unity. So may we walk in love, offering forgiveness, which will cause those chains that are around us to burst with true joy that we have in Christ. And their bitterness gets taken away by that tidal wave. Another one, unconfessed sin. Do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? You just want to cherish that thing that you've been doing for so long, or just recently. You know, that pride, because we just don't want to say that we sinned. Pride holds us back from a true, sincere relationship with God. And it's like a door shutting us out of his presence. We don't want to see him. We don't want him to see our sin. But we want that sin. We want to hold on to that. King David sinned. And when he finally came to his senses and opened his heart to God, he said, "Cleanse me. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And then he said this, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Coming before the Lord and opening our hearts to him and confessing the sins allows us to come back into his presence without shame or guilt. And he opens his arms, just like the father opened his arms to the long-lost son. He said, "Come, I'm here for you. I love you. I've already forgiven you." He forgives. The sin is taken, and it's taken away from us. As far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It no longer hinders us. The heavy door there, and waters of joy bursting forth and breaking through those doors and carrying our unconfessed sin out into the waters. Let's look at something as we deal with those joy busters, but you know what? There's a joy. There's a great joy. Joy bursts forth. Because listen to this. We'll go back into seeing the shepherds here. As they were watching over their flocks, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I know I would be. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." And right at this moment, you know what happened? The heavens couldn't hold them back any longer. A host of angels had to burst forth because of this moment. They just had to come out. And I don't know how many there were or what it looked like, but they had to come forth and they'd burst forth with joy unto the Lord, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Not even the heavens could hold them back. They had to burst forth in song. The angels, they're going, "Ah, God, yes, Father, look, we see it now. We see you starting to reveal your salvation to men. They can't hold back any longer." And then the angels left and gone back into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go." They're not sitting there going, "Huh? Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they walked slowly off. They didn't walk slowly. What did they do? They hurried. There's something inside them that was stirring, and they're going, "Oh, what is this? What is this? We got to see this." And they started hurrying off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger, just as the angel said. When they had seen him, you know what they did? They couldn't hold it in. They couldn't hold it in. Joy burst forth. And as they proclaimed Christ, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. This is the Messiah.
Our Messiah is here, our Savior. He's here. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. What is this? The Messiah is born? The shepherds returned to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They burst forth in joy. Amazing. Simeon, this devout man, waiting for the Christ that the Holy Spirit said, you're going to see him before you die. Well, in verse 27, it says there, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Joy bursts forth in the heart of Simeon because now he has seen his Savior. And he said this, Savior, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Oh, I have a feeling Simeon was dancing around with his arms up after he gave back the child to his mom and dad. Oh, what joy. Anna, waiting all those years, she never left the temple. Coming up to them at that very moment, because she saw what Simeon's doing. What's that old man doing jumping around, praising God for? She knew. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Joy burst forth in her heart. Her Savior's come, proclaiming it to others, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Amazing. Do you remember those prophets and angels that talked about longing, looking into these things of God and his plans? It's going, okay, Father, what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, we're waiting, we're waiting. Well, if you turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 5, we'll get a little bit of feeling here. Because don't forget Mary in all of this. You know what it says about Mary in all of this? She said she's treasured all these things she heard in her heart. And you know her M.O., remember her M.O.? She pondered these things. She weighed them in her heart. Because she knew. She knew that, oh, the child is born. The Savior. She's weighing all these things she's hearing, but she knew that there's something more than just this birth. There's something for this child to do, and it was still beyond her understanding really what that was. How is she going to save the world? How is he going to be saving me? Well, we turn this scene into heaven in chapter 5 there. Then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming, this is John, the person who wrote the Gospel of John, the guy who was with Peter. And he said this, he said, I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. They burst forth in joy. Christ not only was born, but now it's Christ who died for all mankind to save them, to give them new life, life everlasting. They sang it. "You are worthy to take the scroll, Jesus, and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." A joyful scene breaking forth. The child is born. And now he finished and completed his mission for mankind by dying on a cross for each one of us. Do you remember that cripple I was talking about, holding out that cup at the gates, the temple gates? Peter and John came up to him and said, "Hey, look at us." And then he's going, "Okay, yeah. Give me the money. He said, Peter said, "We don't have money, but you know what? We'll give you what we have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The beggar dropped his cup. They helped him up on his feet. And all of a sudden, his feet and his ankles grew strong. And he couldn't hold back his joy any longer. He had to go and walk and leap and shout praises before God in the temple courts. And all the people there were amazed at what they saw and heard. See, when you talk about joy, there's a quiet joy, but there's also a bursting forth of joy because of what God has done for us. This baby Jesus comes, and we praise the Lord for his birth. But we also saw in our time, read in the scriptures, he died for us. He died for us to save us. Every single one of us is welcome into his kingdom who received this gift through faith, repenting, and confessing our sins. The joy busters, remember, don't let them get you down. Don't let the discontentment or unresolved conflict or unconfessed sin stop us from our walk with Christ or keep us away from him. But may we go forth joyfully with the joy of the Lord abounding in our hearts, being our strength day to day. And in that, proclaiming Christ and what he has done for us. Isaiah said this. He says, "You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let the righteous grow with it." See, I believe here, right here on mountaintop, this whole community and beyond this area, God is working in the darkness. He has poured forth his truth and his light into our hearts, and we have this special joy. May he abound to us in ways that we will be reminded of who we are in Christ and all he has done for us, to where we are going around and we're starting to, we just can't hold back anymore. We can't hold back anymore. We got to talk about Christ. We got to talk about that righteousness. We got to just praise his name out loud and maybe even start jumping and leaping and running around, because we can't hold it back any longer. The enemy wants to conceal all this. He wants to put the doors or the big walls in front and not allow anybody to see our joy bursting forth. But he wants us to burst forth with that joy, breaking through those walls, proclaiming Christ as Lord and Savior, praising him. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see the multitudes just coming? As God breaks through the darkness and works on the hearts of these people, and they hear our praises, they see our joyfulness, they start coming. Multitudes filling the parking lot, lifting hands in praise and prayer. Some who are sick, healed, jumping around. Some who are lost, found. Those shepherds, we can learn a lot from them. Let's be like the shepherds and going forth, hurrying forth, seeing what's going on. After we see it, and we already see it, go forth with that message. Proclaim it. And we'll see the multitudes coming to Christ. And we're going to come and rejoice with them. And there's going to be much leaping and jumping and shouting praises unto the Lord. That tidal wave we saw in Thailand, breaking through things, the power of it all. The enemy cannot hold it back. The only thing that holds it back is our hearts. Open up. Open up. Proclaim Christ. Go forth in the joy that we have in him. And be free, like even like David, who is king, walking before the Ark of the Covenant, and he's leaping and jumping and praising God. Some scorned him. His wife, look at him, kind of, what is he doing? He's king and he's acting like that. He's going, hey, I love the Lord so much, I got to do this. May we be like David before the Lord. Lord bless you. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before you rejoicing in your word. May you fill our hearts with this joyfulness, the joy of your salvation. That's what it is. It's the joy of your salvation, what you have done for us. May we proclaim that. That's the good news. May we proclaim that so others can hear this season and beyond this season, Lord. Talk about the Christ child. Why was he born? He's born to save us, to die for us, to rise again on the third day. And we wait for you, Lord Jesus, for that wonderful time that we can rejoice with you when you come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, fill us with so much joy that it's just going to burst forth. It's going to burst forth into proclaiming you, that others can see and hear, and that they will be drawn out of the darkness and into your kingdom of light. We praise you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, and all of his people say, amen.